How's it going? Welcome back to the channel. Hope everyone is all good and well. Apologies for being late. There's a African Cup of Nations match gone into extra time, semi-final with Cameroon and Egypt. A big one for Grizz. He wants Salah to come home, but let's see if he makes it to the final. Well, Grizz, keep us up to date with that, what's going on over there, because I haven't got the TV on in the background.
Come on, Cameroon.
We got Fuad as well. Fuad's back in the building. What are you saying, bro?
All good, bro. Appreciate you having me on as usual. Good with the journey, gang.
Appreciate you giving us your time, my guy. Trust me, a lot of people love it when you come on. So if you love it, hit the like button. And Fuad's channel is in the description below. So make sure you guys go support the road to 5K, I believe, Fuad, isn't it?
Yeah.
So make sure you guys go support the thing. Go subscribe to his channel. And as usual, the rest of the lads, the channel's in the description below. Skullfuggery as well. Big things coming from him and us. And the official Big Six channel, if you don't know, it's already launched. One video's out, top five Premier League centre-backs. And it's going to be followed up by, it's going to be followed up by centre-backs, midfielders, wing-backs, wingers, strikers, all of that. So subscribe, put your notifications on, and look out for it in the coming weeks ahead. Obviously, it's FA Cup weekend. On that note, I haven't really got much to say tonight, as Arsenal are the only one of us that are not in the FA Cup.
Who beat you? Who beat you, by the way?
Forest.
Who beat us?
Oh, Forest, yeah. All right.
Don't be cheeky, my bro.
I just honestly, I was asking a question. I forgot. That. It feels like ages ago, man.
And I'm looking at the fixtures, and I'm looking at like Middlesbrough for Man United, Plymouth for Chelsea, Fulham for City, Cardiff for Liverpool. It's only really the Spurs one that looks like it could be interesting. Fuad, is it going to be interesting, or do you see an easy win against Brighton?
Bruv, not against Brighton. Last couple of results we played Brighton have always been not almost like a bogey team, but we always play against them like we're a bogey team. We always seem to struggle to dominate against them. And I think stylistically, we're two polar opposites. They're really a footballing side and we're kind of counter-attack and low block. So be an interesting one. I definitely wouldn't say it as an easy win for sure.
Yeah, well, that is the only one that I look at and really there's much debate about. Do you think you're going to go through though?
I'd like to think so. I think now we've got a few additions to the squad. I'm hoping the team will be a little bit more tight of a unit. I know we let some players go, but I'm looking at them and as if they weren't even contributors anyway, so we're not really losing much. But I look at the team and I'm thinking, do you know what? We need something. And I feel like the FA Cup this season is kind of the only thing we've got going for. We've been dumped out of the League Cup by Chelsea, of course. Conference League, we've disgracefully been thrown out. So, yeah, I mean, FA Cup's all we got left, really, Judy.
How do you feel about that Conference League thing? Because I know we don't really get to see you much on here, but is it a shame that you didn't go through and make it happen, or is it just one of those things?
Honestly, it's you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If we won it and got all the way to the final or whatever, everyone would have been laughing at us and saying, hey, you won a third-rate European trophy. And if we lose it we're thrown out of it like we have been, it's, you couldn't even win the damn third-tier European trophy. So for me, it's less fixtures to play in the second half of the season. And with the squad now being thinner, it might actually be a blessing in disguise. So I hope it benefits us being thrown out of it, if anything.
Yeah, we're going to get into it some more and get other people's opinions on the game as well. And predictions, not for the table, because, you know, that's just Premier League, but, you know, predictions just for the back pocket. See what happens come Monday if Skullfuggery, you know, can get to work on any overconfidence. Go on.
I need a 2-1. A 2-1 Spurs win. I need some content magic. I need this pot of hype to be dead and buried nice and swiftly. 2-1 win.
You worded that well. Still, you need it. So if it comes Monday and you lot are knocked out, I don't know if Skullfuggery has got enough on you right now.
Hey, vocabulary is important.
He's working overtime, mate. Skullfuggery. He's ready whenever. You know what I mean? When called upon, he's ready for me. Hey. You know what I mean? It's bad.
Hey, I think someone's got
they're going to do your thing. There's 1,000 people logged in, so make sure you guys hit the like button, get it up to 1,000 early on in the stream, as usual, people. I know that AFCON is still on. Like I said, Grizz will keep us updated. But I do want to, well, I was meant to start the show with the Aubameyang comment today, probably the biggest news in terms of anything other than the FA Cup. And who was it that said they hadn't heard it? Steve, and I believe Grizz hadn't heard the comment. So let me just read it out. Aubameyang said, my last few months at Arsenal were complicated. That's football sometimes. For my part, I never wanted to do anything wrong. My problem was only with Arteta. I can't say much more. I wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. Steve, Grizz, in terms of initial reactions, what did you not make of that?
Well, do you know my thoughts on him? I don't think he was pulling his weight last few months. I don't think he was behaving like a captain last few months. So, to me, you can blame the manager all you want, but I think the manager grew a pair of bollocks and got rid of him. And I think like going it forward, it might... I know you're light up front, and I know people are criticising Arteta now, but at the end of the day, you've got to trust your manager in some situations. Sometimes it goes against heroes. These heroes don't like it when their nose gets pushed out of joint, but at the end of the day, he should behave. If he behaved like a captain and he was leading by example, it would have never got to the point where he got forced to go. So at the end of the day, he can cry and whine all he wants. He's gone to Spain. Let him go and enjoy it. And I'm sure Arteta's and the Arsenal dressing room's a lot better place without him.
Matisse, I see you nodding there. You agree?
Yeah, I think he's spot on to get rid of him. I just think he's a bit... I think the double standards are there with, obviously, Xhaka still being at the club. I think if you're going to, be strict on it... Was it under Emery that he did the whole fuck the fans thing? That was under Emery, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even still, it's just a bit weird that Xhaka's still there professionalism-wise, but with all the sending-offs and everything. But I think with Aubameyang, I think, if he's trying to create an environment where he can almost be the dictator, which is probably what he wants and needs to be if he's a young manager. He obviously needs young players around him. And even some of the young players like Guendouzi and Saliba, he couldn't really control, so he wanted them gone as well. It's the only way he's going to stay in the job. If he loses the dressing room, he's done. So he knows that. So getting rid of Aubameyang is a big move, especially to pay the compensation on the wage. I think it was like 7 million. They just paid out outright. I think they're paying maybe partly part of the wage this season, and Barcelona take full control of the wage next season, which is lower. It's a big move from Arsenal, but you have to take the loss. Aubameyang's not playing well. I don't think he's going to recover from the form that he was playing in, that was seeing him get golden boot shouts and whatnot. So get rid of him and move on. Do you know what I mean? I don't think he's an integral part of the Arsenal team anymore. So job done. And I just can't believe he's won out of this. Like, he's literally caked the money, bad form, and he's gone, no disrespect, to a bigger club. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that is nuts. I don't know how he's managed to pull that off. So fair play to him.
Can I say something before we move on? Because, like, Arsenal, innit? So I have to give my opinion. but you know what Matisse said, yeah? Like, double standards. I don't really see it as double standards as such. Again, looking from the outside. Because for all we know, and from what we know, I think Arteta's all about the right attitude in terms of training, culture, coming on time around the young players. It seems like Xhaka has that. Mm. It's just that he's shit on the pitch or whatever, and he gets like the indiscipline side of things. But it doesn't come across like Aubameyang set the standards on the training ground. And all the great coaches, all the great managers, everyone will tell you it starts off at the training ground. They want everyone, especially the top dogs, setting examples. And it seems as though coming late or whatever, all the indiscretions, disciplinary wise, weren't a good look. Especially as Arsenal are a very, very young squad, and the up and coming players need role models that they're going to aspire to. And he didn't want Aubameyang, and I can see that.
Don't you think Arsenal fans need to be told more about the situation though? Because he was one of the players that built a bond with the fans. And there's only a handful of players that have done that since we've moved into the Emirates. He's also, I believe, off the top of my head, he's the first player since Henri to score back-to-back 20 goals in the Premier League. He helped us to the FA Cup and so on. He was captain. I get why he was captain after that Xhaka thing. He's never been a natural leader, but it was given to him because he had that connection.
Turkish, I think there's a massive difference between the best player being the best player for your team and the right player for your team. So there's no doubt Aubameyang in that period was the best player on your team. No one's going to argue with that. But once that period ended, once his goal drought started, I should say, and then you look for your captain to set the right example. Because let's not get it twisted. He was made captain, wasn't he, under Arteta?
Yeah.
So we can't say Arteta's got something against him. He wouldn't have made him captain. But it seems like as soon as he made him captain, it may have got to his head. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. Or, do you know what I mean? His attitude or whatever wasn't right. And for whatever reason, you either got to go with your star boy, your star man. You say, yeah, no. Aubameyang's top scorer, goal scorer supreme. I don't give a shit about the coach. We change the coach. Or you go for a coach and then you trust the coach.
That's what you got to do. You got to trust the manager. You can't not trust him. You got to trust the manager because, you know what I mean? He's got to be seen. The manager's got to have control. If the player gets control in that situation, they're all going to be coming out doing what they want. And I mean, it has happened before at Arsenal where players have said what they want, done what they want, and they get a reaction out of the fan base. We know the Arsenal fan base is crazy at times, and these players know that also, so they know they're going to get a reaction. And Arteta's probably got a really tough job there when something like that happens in the dressing room and he's going up against one of the stars, one of the heroes, the fans' favourites. It takes a lot of balls to do what he did. And at the end of the day, we could be talking about this in 12 months' time as a masterstroke, and things could start coming out of Arsenal saying, oh, Auburn, that was a bad egg. He was doing this. He didn't really want to play. You never know. That might come out. It might go the other way. We might come out and say, oh, Arteta was Bobbins. He was the wrong man for the job. He treated players with... We just never know. But at the minute, while he's your manager, I think even though you love Obba, you've just got to back your manager in this one because he seems to be trying to do things different than other managers. And I got to respect him for that, to be honest.
And I think every player has their cycle as well. And I think Obba's cycle just came to an end. Let's be honest. Even when you lot renewed that deal, it was kind of more of fear of losing him and not being able to replace the goals rather than you actually saying, you know what, we can bank on him. He was a 31-year-old at the time when you lot was renewing the deal. So for me, I just feel like the cycle was naturally going to come to an end and Arteta's maybe gotten ahead of the curve. And to be honest, that's a good thing how I see it. I think now Obba can have a fresh start and go and play for Barca because we know, I don't know how he's going to get on there. Personally, I don't think it's going to go well, but I think it was necessary, especially with the youngsters coming through, with all the transfers he was given in the summer. Arsenal look like they're really trying to get behind him. Maybe not in this January window, but they believe in Arteta. And I think if you believe in him, you have to pick the manager over the captain. And especially when you're having these disciplinary issues or whatever it is, as you're saying, we're being kept in the dark, but it's happening on North London Derby Day, bro. Some things are unforgivable. You can't be turning up late to the big North London derby. And that's the captain and tone setter. And I think what Grizz said there is important as well. Once the goals dry up, now we look at how you actually lead in the dressing room. Now we start looking at beyond just your goals, just your man of the match performances. What else are you bringing to the team? And maybe Arteta saw that he wasn't bringing enough value to the dressing room. Yeah, you can do good vibes and Travis Scott hairstyle and all this and that. It's good for the fans and it's good for team chemistry. But is it actually helping the team? Maybe you saw it as a distraction and just felt it was necessary to get rid. I feel like it was a good cycle you lot had, but the cycle had to come to an end.
But Turkish, go on.
I think when I look at when it first happened, I think it was the first week of December or something when he was first dropped and he's never come back since. I said from early, listen, if it is that and the relationship is done, then you might as well sort it out in January. But my thing is, and I think a lot of the Arsenal fans, we expected the blow of Obba going to be softened by an incoming. It's the fact that he just went on the last day. And I think as well, the fact that, like Matisse said, he went to a Barcelona. It's not like he went to Marseille or he went to Napoli or something like that. He's gone to Barcelona. Yeah, all right.
The state of that signing, no disrespect, it shows you the state of Barcelona because if they're going for Aguero's on free transfers, Adama Traore's, people like that, Braithwaite, that's that Barcelona thing. Yeah, they're big in stature and name. But look at the actual players on the pitch. I'm not being funny. Fucking Middlesbrough probably beat them.
If Obba, because a lot of people have said, well, not a lot, a few people have said this. If Obba goes to Barca and starts banging goals in, does that have any effect on Arteta, or do you think it should have an effect? The decision is the decision.
Absolutely not, because at the end of the day, Aubameyang needed a fresh start. Whatever comes out, and I'm sure it'll come out in the Amazon documentary, maybe we'll see some snippets. I can't wait for that. But he needed a fresh start because I don't think he was going to start suddenly turning form at Arsenal just out of nowhere. He was on a downward spiral for a good while now. He had a poor year last year. this year he hasn't really come back from it. He's just still been kind of a bit all over the place. Obviously, there's personal issues as well. He needed a fresh start. So if he starts back, I always say this is the same thing with Chelsea fans. If a player that's not working out at your football club goes and does well elsewhere, it doesn't mean that that was going to happen in the same environment for you. It's literally the complete opposite. They get a fresh start, new tactics, new environment, new style of football. Maybe something kicks. They got a new manager, a new motivation. He's got a reason to play well for Barcelona now. They don't know him. Their fans have no loyalty towards him. He's got to build that trust, build that faith. It's a big club. Arsenal, you've kind of been there for a long time, resting on your laurels. Maybe you didn't achieve everything you wanted to achieve in terms of trophies. I don't know. So he needed a fresh start. If he kicks off at Barcelona, great for him. Move on. But I think the lack of replacement, there's two ways you can look at it. I think Liverpool obviously have done great January business. I think they've won the transfer window by a country mile. But if Arsenal are getting rid of all these guys and there's all these outgoings, and then in the summer it allows them to move freely and not have to worry about sell to buy in terms of squad numbers, then you might see a good summer. So it's all hearsay right now. But if they're planning on a good summer and they just wanted to get rid of people off the books, then I think you have to give Arsenal credit for getting rid of Aubameyang, because he's on high wages. He's not working out, and Arsenal could have easily chosen the route of, we need money for him. We're gonna wait. We're gonna do this. We want to get the best out of him. And they could have easily just made the situation worse. They said, listen, we're just gonna just cut ties. What they've done is actually very ruthless. I don't see it as the former transfers of, Sanya leaving on a free, or Wilshere or Cazorla or all these other guys. I see this as pretty ruthless from Arsenal, this one.
Yeah, but would you not say, though, there's a lack of options in regards to bringing the replacement as well? Because it's not like you lot didn't try. You lot did try and get Vlahovic, which I think, honestly, would have been the ultimate catalyst to push you lot back up there. So you lot tried to cut the corner. He just obviously didn't come through. I don't think, though, there was many alternatives after that who you can say you would have brought. Like, Isak, I'm sorry. If you lot spent 70 mil on Isak, everyone would have been laughing. Because I think there was even a quote saying, yo, there was the release clause doesn't match what they think his market value is. And I think that's right. But I think there's also that. And as Matisse said, it's one look to the summer. But I do think that is a big concern with them losing what you would quote unquote call their best player almost on a free every single time. You've had Oba, you've had Sanchez, Ramsey, Sanya, like Wilshere over the years, Arshavin, even if you want to look. Like, so many of these times where these players are put on a pedestal at Arsenal for 2 or 3 years, and before you know it, they're kind of scurried out of the back door before you know it. It's just mad for me how that's run.
I think, you know what, it's hard to disagree with various points made. In isolation, I get it all. But if I was to throw in, if you look at the last 10, 15 years and you look at the big names...
Got Ozil as well.
And the way those big names have ended at the club. And this goes back to Fabregas, even though we understand Barcelona is his home and that was happening. I think he went earlier than expected because of the situation at Arsenal. Van Persie, like I said earlier this week on AFTV, if you go back to the letter Van Persie wrote for us when he left for Man United, that letter still resonates till today. Sanchez is another one. Ozil's another one. Ramsey's another one. There's so many players that have reached a certain level at the club or have come in at a certain level, and it just hasn't ended well. Doesn't that reflect on the club as well? And this is not necessarily Mikel Arteta, because these names have come under, Wenger and Emery as well.
Is Arsenal a stepping stone, Turkish, for players? You know what I mean? Because I don't think you'll keep hold of Saka. Smith Rowe down the line. Aston Villa were touted to get him, and obviously Arsenal had hold of him, but is maybe that also that kind of club where it's a stepping stone. Martinelli, I think, will leave in a couple of years.
He's trolling you here. He's taking the piss here. No, but it's leaving. Smith Rowe's leaving. Martinelli's leaving. How can you not tell anyone about leaving, man? Your club's everyone's trying to get out of the back door.
To Turkish. Was that not a perfect, sensible question?
Well, no. Then you brought it Aston Villa.
I don't understand, bro. I've been asking an actual question.
No.
If they're not going to win stuff, I think it's a very serious question.
It's a serious question.
I'm with you in it. Calma.
Yeah, calma.
I'm with you in it. Like, he's right, though, because if these players are ambitious, there's something about them for sure. And the longer Arsenal, A, don't win trophies, and I think A, don't get into the Champions League, and B, don't win domestic trophies at the very least, then these young ballers, and there's no doubt the three that he mentioned, Martinelli, Saka, Smith Rowe, they're three of the finest young players in the Premier League. And yeah, the likes of Liverpool, dare I say it, and obviously Man City, these clubs will be looking at them in the future if they don't sort of get into those, you know, winning Champions Leagues and getting into Champions Leagues and winning domestic trophies in the next two seasons.
Yeah, that's all I was thinking. And for me, you know, going on the Aubameyang thing, I think, you know, Arteta does have a big ego and nobody wants to talk about it. I think he really does. You know, the Guendouzi thing, you know what I mean? You look at it, Saliba, is he really ready? And then now apparently Real Madrid are looking to buy him. You know, this Aubameyang thing, I've always said for me, I wanted to hear Aubameyang's story. And by that statement, it just, for me, seems as if it was a trouble with Arteta. You know, not letting him go to Dubai and then getting Wilshere just to make a little... You know, when you have that kind of statement, you know, I'm bringing Wilshere and I'm leaving you home. You know what I mean? So I just look at it, I think Arteta just needs to chill out, mate, and just realise that, you know, you have to work together. And that's the problem for me. But I think it's a perfect parting ways. Arsenal could just move on now. But like I said to you, you didn't buy a striker. Arsenal at least could have bought someone alone, someone to replace him. Because now, Aubameyang can score them goals and be laughing in your face. So...
Is there a worry that it's the right approach from the wrong level of experience?
In terms of manager?
Yeah.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Literally. Yeah. Like, people are saying I'm defending Arteta in the comments. I'm defending it because of his age and his ability as a manager, which is not that high. If you're not a top manager and you're young and you've got no track record to show that you command authority and you command respect, the only way to do it is to be harsh. Even Lampard, you see it with his fines at Chelsea and now his new fines that are at Everton. And that's a club, that's a footballing legend. His fines are ridiculous for players that are late to training, that are late to meetings, that don't do community duties, etc. I'm praising Arteta in the fact that he is trying to be ruthless, even though people will disagree with it. And I don't think it's the best way to go about it. It is kind of the only way he can go about it. Like, don't command respect with your CV, you wasn't a legendary footballer, you don't win trophies as a manager, you're not a top manager.
Yeah, but then what about a player who wants to leave? What about, look at Nketiah. Guy said he wants to leave and then he's playing him. And then there's
next man on the bench. But I think we're misconflating what this is about. This is not about whether you want to stay or go from Arsenal. This is about professionalism. And like Fouad said, if you turn up late to a North London derby, you're not professional and you're the club captain.
You said about the way he conducts himself, though.
It's the way that he conducts himself. And Aubameyang, Aubameyang and Nketiah are not in the same stratosphere in terms of status at the club. Let's be real here. One's the captain, one's the highest paid player, one's Aubameyang, and one is Nketiah. No one's listening to Nketiah. You know what I mean? He's running out of contract. He's probably going to go to a lower league table team. He's not that deep. Aubameyang is one of your key core guys. And they're not doing what they fundamentally need to be doing. The only thing Nketiah is not doing is signing a new contract. That's not a problem. Loads of people don't sign contracts. That's business. But if your leading man is not following the code of conduct, which is at some point he hasn't, so there's no point sitting here defending like as if he hasn't, like he's followed the rules. He hasn't at all times. Then you got to punish that, because otherwise you lose the whole dressing room. Like we said earlier, if he thinks he can do what he wants, and then how are you going to tell the younger players that they can't? It doesn't make any sense.
Just very quickly, Egypt and Cameroon has gone to penalties, my brothers.
Gone penalties, yeah?
Yeah, it's going to go to penalties. Yeah. That referee, obviously you ain't seen much of it, but the referee was a mess. It's the most blatant home referee you're ever likely to see.
Yeah.
He must have had Samuel Eto'o's face mask on, bro. This too much.
But yeah, it's a common theme now, because I don't know if you've just seen now, I think Jesse Lingard's put a statement out as well.
I was going to say, next is the Jesse Lingard news. I don't know, Turkish Talk probably hasn't seen it, so you want to tell him?
Apparently he's put a statement out that that he's taken a few days off. But Ralph put a statement out already saying basically that, you know, Jesse Lingard's taken a few days off. But he's put a statement out saying, the club advised me to take time off due to personal reasons, but my headspace is clear and I'm always professional when called upon and give 100%. So he's basically saying, yo, I'm all right to play if you want me to play. But then Ralph said, you know, he's taking some time off. So who's telling the truth? Again, yes.
It's a mess, man.
But again, you know, I can't for me feel sorry for Jesse Lingard, mate, because you changed your mind. I'm sorry. You changed your mind, mate. You said you wanted to go, then you're staying. So for me, you know, you make your bed and you lie in it. That's what they say, don't they? So you've accepted this, all this mess, and you didn't want to leave when you wanted to leave. You had a chance in the summer. Then you said 3 weeks in the transfer window, I want to leave. And then you change your mind. And then in the last minute, you want United to sort it all out. It's not going to happen, is it? Especially with a club like United that just don't get transfers and all this malarkey, right? So I'm sorry, man. Jesse Lingard, mate, you wanted to dance with Ronaldo and you can dance with him now, can't you? So it's up to you, mate.
Oh, glad you said that, not me.
No, but it's true, though, isn't it? For me, how am I supposed to feel sorry for you if you've said you wanted to leave and then you change your mind? I can't, man.
What did he say to change his mind?
Sorry?
What did he do to change his mind? Because as far as I was aware, he was having his brother leak stories and he was like, United are holding me hostage.
You got Rashford putting up pictures and that, you know what I mean, after the day after. I don't know what's wrong with this football club. I don't know, man. It's all for me. Like, did he need to put that statement out when Ralph has already said he's taking 2 days off? I don't know. That's up to him, whatever he wants to do. They have their own PR team. It's up to him, yeah? But it's just for me, you're creating so much noise around United. Just shut up, man.
Listen, do you not think it's...
I don't know, man. I'm just feel like it's always like some drama coming out of United, isn't it? Just let us
get to it. Feel like it's Ralph creating it, though.
Hey,
is Ralph not the one creating it? Because he's the one that is saying Lingard needs a few days off. I remember when he was the one that said Martial isn't included in the squad, and Martial put out a little Instagram statement. He keeps almost shooting himself in the foot every time. How about you understand what your players are on before you make public statements? Like, I feel like Ranić, you know, honestly, I think in press conferences, he talks a little too much, bro.
Well, he's a bit
wobbly, right? I'm not going to lie.
No!
I like it, man.
Listen, I've had a manager beforehand, you know, trying to make everyone feel
cool. Yeah, when you compare him to him, fair enough. But I'm just isolating him as an individual. He's not he hasn't been as like cutthroat and as clear cut as I expected.
But
he said many times, oh, if you don't want to be here, I ain't gonna convince you to stay. You can go. So Dean Henderson wants to go. Now you're staying.
Though. There was a guy who came up to me anyway. He was a troll, innit? But he came up to Ragnick, and there's a video out there, and he goes, I really want Lingard to stay. And then he goes, well, he's going in the summer anyway. You know, he just said it to him. Like, you don't have to say that, but he don't give a shit, man, because he's like, yo, there's so much mess going at Man United, yeah? Imagine I just be soft on these players. What's the point? He's thinking, listen, I'm here. I'm going to show what I've got. And you know what? He could go and be like, yeah, see you later. I'm gone. He's got nothing to lose. So he's rather just say, you know what? This is my way. And I'll be honest with you. I kind of like that because at the end of the day, then at least you're putting your foot down and saying, listen, I'm the manager here. So it's all mad, bro. It's all mad.
But now you're stuck with a bunch of unhappy players with Henderson and Lingard, and you've got to deal with that for the next 6 months. The circus don't stop.
I'm telling you now, yeah, United couldn't care less. If they can make top four and all these things happening right now, they couldn't care less because they just care about the money at the end of the season. They're not worried about, you know, players moving this and that, yeah. But the problem for me, people, you can feel sorry for Jesse Lingard, and every fan should feel it. But if he said, I want to go, and then in the January transfer goes, he's changed his mind. Should any fan here feel sorry for you if you've already changed your mind? I can't personally. So it's up to the people who then feel sorry for him. That's up to you.
He should have left last summer after that season with West Ham. He should have left, but he wanted to stay.
Ollie promised him game time.
Promises are very fickle in football. You see Ronaldo. You see Rashford, you just put two and two together. You know you ain't playing the games that you thought you were going to play. And
I'm telling you, man.
These attackers end up leaving for you guys as well. So it's like, let him go, really, logistically.
I feel sorry for him in a way because, you know, the Greenwood things happened and they've said, right, we need you. I get that from a club's perspective. You know what I mean? But, you know... Would he have known that? Obviously, hindsight's a wonderful thing, you know what I mean? But he would never have known this was coming around the corner. And it's just a shit situation for all parties. And he's just got to have to just say to himself, right, 6 months and then I go and I'm free forever. So, at the end of the day, it's just a situation all around, isn't it?
But you see, when Lingard said he wanted to leave in January, when did he change his mind, bruv?
In January.
I don't recall him saying he wanted to stay, bruv. I remember his brother putting out pictures like two days ago. I remember.
Yeah. But I think, man, honestly,
I thought you wanted to leave, and you lot were holding him hostage. You lot were the ones saying basically to Newcastle, yeah, you can have him, but if you stay up at the end of the season, we want money.
Yeah.
You lot were the ones. David honestly reported it.
David honestly reported it. I'm being serious. I remember it was in mid-January. He was like, right, he's staying. And then all of a sudden, the rumors came out that
Don't believe these. I said it on AFT, guys. I think I said it on Monday as well. Don't believe these Twitter guys, man. Even Ornstein.
No, David Ornstein is a credible journalist, though.
Nah, man. Credible, man. That guy said I was on his way back from Barca and that guy was doing a medical. Like, the guy don't know what's going on. And that goes to all of them on Twitter anyway.
The only man you've got to trust is Grizz. Grizz is the man.
Yeah, Grizz ITK.
Never known a man get as many transfers wrong. Even the other night, he said, that's a done deal. The kid from Fulham signed. And then
there's a reason why you're my best mate. There's a reason.
I'm just telling the truth, man.
No, there's a reason you're my best mate. Because check this out. Fabio Cavaglio has just been confirmed by one of the tier one Liverpool journalists. Literally, just this very second, Liverpool and Fulham have agreed to make the agreement for Fabio Cavaglio to join this summer. So it was a done deal. We just didn't get enough time to turn it over. The best man. We didn't even plan this, people. He didn't even meant to segue into it. He tried to run me down, but the king lives on.
Fuad, this is the guy. This is the guy that sent in the group chat. Ronaldo to City is done. I sat back and said that that's over. Then it's over. If you've said it's done, it's fucking
I was winding up. Wait, Toby's ain't here, so I'm going to use Toby. Toby knows I was winding up.
Let me look at some of the super chats. There's 2K in the building. Love for the love, people. I know there's a penalty shootout going on. It says 1-1 on my phone, but it's probably a bit behind. Grizz will keep us updated on that. Subscribe to the rest of the lads in the description below. I'm going to look at some of the super chats. Big up Reggie. He says, so 2 seasoned accomplished managers, Wenger and... I think you mean Wenger and Emery. Never had a problem with him, Aubameyang, but this Cole man does. I guess Arteta knows more than them. Oh, well. Obviously, tongue-in-cheek there. Bashar says, I'm sure that Oba's had enough and he had to say the truth and told Arteta that he is a bum and the worst manager he has ever seen. And that is the truth, says Bashar. Imagine how many problems Arsenal actually have that are just swept under the rug. This club is in the mud and I can't see a way out. Well, I know for 100% fact that this club does cover things up. They make out things are real when they're completely manufactured. I've mentioned a couple things that validate me saying that. So I wouldn't be surprised if it happens near enough every day. Regine says Arsenal's dressing room might be better. But I tell you this, if Oba goes and starts banging goals at Barca, it is not a good look. Reggie again says the bad attitude narrative is always so easy to run for certain men and the subconscious bias in fans takes over. If you know, you know. Usman says, come on, Turkish. There is no chance Oba fits with the Barca playing style. How can you play quick 1-2s with a brother who has a shit touch? He's finished. We know this. I never, you know, like I said, I expected Oba to go. I don't like the fact that he turned up late to the North London derby. I don't like the fact that since he signed a new contract, he's been very bummy in front of goal. And when the situation happened, I said the club has to move him on. My gripe comes from the fact that we moved him on and didn't get an adequate replacement. Obviously, Fuad mentioned we chased Vlahovic and whatnot. If you believe it, you believe it. It didn't happen either way. I just feel like the blow, we expected it to be softened by an incoming and that didn't happen. So when you see Oba smiling in the Barca kit and it seemingly enjoying life again, while Arsenal are down to their bare bones, out of 2 cups and the top 4 race is looking very sticky at the moment, if you even believe it's a chance. As an Arsenal fan right now, it doesn't look good on the eye. It might turn out good in the summer if we do a bag of business and those saved wages all make sense and the next season we're back in Champions League and so on. We'll look back at this and say, you know what? We was wrong. Or people that think like me was wrong. But until that happens, we can only talk about now. So, yeah. Fraud member says, we spent 150 mil. That is true. But how many players have we let go for nothing due to how poorly we are run? We're going to need an even bigger summer than previous. But yeah, Cazorla went for free. Ramsey went for free. Oba went for free. Sanchez, Ozil. Is that even it? There's probably some more names to add to that list.
Ramsey, Wilshere, Sanya as well.
Yeah, there's another one. Yeah, another few, to be honest. Prem Prodigy says, these situations at United always go back to Ole trying to play happy family with these players. He was never going to play. Left us in a total mess.
Absolutely.
Nahom says, Saeed, Ralph is exposing all these players. Hopefully we get rid of all these players or they get unhappy and want to leave so we can start fresh.
Start fresh, mate.
People could say that's what's going on at Arsenal Football Club.
Yeah, we're similar clubs. You know what I mean? As much as I banter Arsenal, we are similar. We have to get rid of all these stuff to kind of go back to where we want to be, unfortunately.
Cameroon have missed three penalties in a row. So I think that means that...
finished. Yes, finished.
Egypt are through to the final. Egypt are through to the final.
Salah versus Mane.
Do you know what? In a funny way, not funny, I don't know what way, but I didn't want both of them to reach the final because I don't want them up against each other, if you know what I mean. But this is king shit, man. This is both.
We can settle the debate now. We can settle the debate finally. Put it to rest. King of Africa.
No, I'm not having that. See, I'm not one of these people that has a debate between two of my kings, man. Nah, let them both reign, man. You know what I mean? So
they don't really like each other anyway, Chris. To be honest, they don't really like each other.
Yeah, I'm being honest.
West Africa versus North Africa.
Yeah, this is sick, though. Mane, who could have made this shit up? Because Egypt haven't even got a good team.
Nah.
They've got a poor team. And the guy is just phenomenal, man. The thing is, Mane is my boy.
I think Mane deserves it, though.
Mane is my boy, yeah? Everyone knows that Mane is my boy. But Salah, for this whole respect and Ballon d'Or business, needs that.
So we can sign a contract.
No, man, it's not about that, innit? Stop being petty. You're being petty now. Let him win the AFCON, man, because he needs this Ballon d'Or shit.
Egypt have too much heritage at the AFCON. I feel like Senegal, every AFCON, they've been taking steps forward. They got to the final 2021. Now it's time to crown them. Let Mane have his thing. That's what I want to see.
Yeah,
I don't want to see Salah.
This is big shit.
There's too much Egyptian heritage for Salah to catch up to. Man, forget Mohamed Zidane, Amir Zaki, Nido. Listen, Egypt got legends, you know? Salah ain't on that list.
That's just Zidane, man. Zidane was a player, man.
Nah, I'm not. I can't argue with that. I can't argue with what Fouad said, but
yeah, what we say? What we predicting?
It's Senegal, a strong team, man. Senegal are favourites.
I'm taking Senegal. Obviously, Mendy plays for them. So.
But the way the story is going, man, when you got man like Salah, and dare I say El Nini, you hear me, Turkish? I told you about El Nini.
You just put Salah.
Why are you laughing? I told him about El Nini.
You know, you're trying to insinuate. He's trying to insinuate that you should keep.
You just spoke about how Salah needs more respect, and then you put El Nene next to him. It's like
maybe he deserves more respect. Maybe the Arsenal fan
that's the one too far, don't you?
Maybe the fan base needs to have a look at them and realize who the real true dons are.
Is anyone going for Egypt here?
Yeah. I'm going for Egypt.
Oh, you?
No, I'm not sure. I'll let you know in the next show.
Next show's
going to be done
after the final.
That's how I roll, isn't it, bro?
Let me get the last two super chats in. Ryan says Lingard wanted to stay and then changed his mind 3 weeks into the January window. That's what Saeed's point was. Dinesh says, evening. I think City played the game. They were never going to sign Ronaldo. City knew United fans would go on a meltdown. They brought him well, then City. I think you mean that they was, you know, playing along with the banter and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for the super chats, people. There's 2,100 of you here. Make sure you guys hit the like button. I don't believe we're on 1,000 likes yet. No, we're not on 1,000 yet. So make sure you guys hit the like button if you haven't already and subscribe to the channels in the description. And yeah, this is the FA Cup weekend. We just discussed Arsenal for half an hour or more and we're not even in it. But the games, like I said before, Man United, Middlesbrough, Chelsea, Plymouth, City, Fulham, Spurs, Brighton, Liverpool, Cardiff. Does anyone think the five of the big six teams are not going to go through?
Bit sticky, our one, I think, but you never know.
Read, who are they playing again? Read that again, sorry.
Yeah, United, Middlesbrough.
At home. If it was away, yeah. You know,
you're all at home. You're all at home.
Yes.
Yeah, we're all at home.
I mean, Spurs Brighton is the 50-50 one.
Yeah, that's a 50-50 one, yeah.
Because Brighton, you know, I mean, you know how much I got, how time I got for Potter. I think he's a wonderful, wonderful manager. Wonderful manager. So that's the only one. The rest
Fulham
of
are scoring some goals, though. Fulham are scoring some goals. Top of the championship.
Who they got?
The championship.
Yeah, who?
City.
You just buy Cavalli from the Ligue
1. Nah. City, Fulham. Yeah. Don't try and make
it. Cavallo watch, isn't it?
Steve, some just want the City to be relevant, man. Look how he just brought up
Fulham. Wow. Fulham top of the championship. These, you know, they got the scoring goals down there.
Well, let's see if our new boy Cavallo can put a dent in your cup dreams, man. FA Cup dreams. But now you can't see that. You can't see that.
And Tottenham, for me, even in that game, I wouldn't even give it 50-50 because Tottenham have to take that very seriously with Conte now because it's the only thing they can win.
Yeah.
So I think Conte will take that trophy very seriously now. And
how would you feel then, Fod, if he didn't, you know, if he kind of failed in this FA Cup? How would you feel,
Fod?
Would you mean like if we got knocked out?
We got knocked out this round here.
Listen, it would depend on the manner we got knocked out. For me, previously, if we don't have good history in the FA Cup, brother, and a lot of the time I feel like it's been self-inflicted from managers we've had, whether it's been Pochettino, Jose, we haven't fielded the strongest sides, I feel like, because we've either been focused on the Europa League or the Champions League or whatever. But yeah, in all honesty, I wouldn't be too mad at it at the same time. I understand this is a squad that's going through an overhaul, do you know what I mean? It's a guy who's just come in, 2 months ago, basically. So, listen, no one sitting here is expecting Spurs to win the FA Cup at the end of the day, and Brighton aren't no slouches, you know what I mean? So, I'm hoping we can get a result, but if it goes the other way, brother, it's nothing I ain't seen.
Are they available, the two players? Kulusevski?
I think Kulusevski might make his debut, but Bentancur, nah.
Why is he injured?
I think he might need to, because he's coming back from Uruguay, I think. It just... So I think there might be some, I don't know, COVID protocol or some shit.
Chris, is Diaz making his debut this week,
Ken? It's a visa situation. He's arrived, like, he has to get his visa sorted out. If he trains tomorrow, which is Friday, innit, he may make a subs bench. I'd call it difficult, man. He definitely won't start. He may get a few minutes if he gets the visa sorted out.
What about Alvarez, Steve?
No, he's staying on loan at
for
July. So, but did you see just touching on City there? Cancelo signed a new contract. All the youngsters today and yesterday signed new deals. And then you look at the contracts now that we've all signed new deals: Ederson, Diaz, Stones, De Bruyne, Cancelo, Bernardo next. All the young kids, McAtee, 5-year deal. They're getting everything sorted out. It looks like they're tying everyone onto long deals. And I tell you what, it's the way forward. That Alvarez deal for 14 million. I mean, South American Player of the Year, 14 million quid. It's crazy. We let loads of free transfers go in the window, but we've all got buyback clauses on them all. You know what I mean? Sell on clauses on them all. They're doing good business, City there. They're running it right. And like, you know, all these teams that have got players coming to the end of contracts and not sure if they're going to sign, we're just nailing all our boys down. So at the minute, life's good, but we're doing all right, yeah.
When does Pep's contract run out?
it's end of, I think it's the end of next season.
Yeah.
But there's big talk about it, saying that, you know, he's even made things saying if they want him, he might sign. And I just think, with all these players signing new contracts and all the youngsters signing new contracts, I think Pep Guardiola's going to sign a new contract. I think he's going to come out and say, look, I'm signing a new contract. We're going again. Because I reckon them players have said, look, stay here, sign these deals. We're going again with Pep. It's good over there now, the feel-good factor in the club and the way everything's coming out of the club. Everything's positive. You know what I mean? We're just talking about clubs being in a mess and negativity and players leaving and things. And then you look at our club, that was our club for probably 30 years. We were the same. didn't know what was going on. Things were just happening, madness. Now you look at it, and you've got to give credit to them. They know what they're doing. They're tying these players down. Nobody's getting into that situation where they can hold the club to ransom. We're basically hitting them early doors and saying, are you signing or not? And if they don't, like Leroy said he didn't want to sign, and we just sold him. And you know, it's looking good. And I think if Pep Guardiola signs, I think the Man City fan base will blast off into space. And I think we're just going to fucking hell, man.
Where's he going to go with moves, though, man? I'm just like, yo, there's only... I don't know where the hell, what, back to Barca and try and fix them. Like, I just feel like he should sign... Well, I personally don't want him to, but I just think the best situation for him makes sense. He's had the Premier League in a chokehold for the past 5 years. I don't understand why you would even bother letting it go, especially when, as you're saying, you've got all the backing, you've got all the youngsters coming through, the recruitment's being done, everything's being set up for the next 5 years, basically. So I don't know why he'd even want to
be from it. He talks about the national side thing, that he always wants to manage a national side. I get that. Plus, Man City bought Girona, but Pep Guardiola's brother is also involved in Girona. He's got a stake in it. And then there was talk of him maybe going to Girona. I know that sounds mad, but it's a nice lifestyle for him. He's got nothing else to prove in Europe. You know what I mean? You don't know. But look, Pep Guardiola can do what he wants. You know what I mean? No one's worried if he leaves. We'll just give him our blessing. Thank you very much. Greatest manager we've ever had. Go and enjoy your life. If he stays, absolutely fantastic. Let's knuckle down and go again. So we can't lose. Man City supporters can't lose. And if he brings in the big Norwegian fella, which the talk is that he's going to do, it's game over, man. It's game over.
I'll let you know when that deal's done.
I don't even want you to talk about that. I don't want that deal. Any other deal, just don't talk about the Norwegian fella.
Unless can I just say, if United get Ten Hag this summer, I think that means Pep Guardiola's going to sign his contract. You know, because Ten Hag would get the impression that City not really after him, and they kind of, you know, because Ten Hag contract ends in 2023, Guardiola's contract ends in 2023. If Ten Hag rejects United and says no, I've got a pre-agreement with Man City in 2023, then that would be all for Pep Guardiola leaving. But if United go and get Ten Hag, I don't see City getting a manager of Guardiola's levels. If you know what I mean, who would you go for if Ten Hag wasn't available? Steve,
bro, you ain't getting Ten Hag. You're getting Pochettino. Yeah,
listen, yeah. I didn't ask
you. You're getting Pochettino.
Ten Hag's way too
intelligent. Let me chat to my man.
It's not about what we want. It's the way we're set up there at City now, and the style of football that is institutionalized right the way through. We need a man that can play that style, and I'm sure they've identified him. I'm sure they've identified him. Ten Hag is great with the Ajax team, the way they play football, and that'd be good for City fans to see him come in there. But I just think Pep Guardiola, the noises that are coming out of Man City at the minute with all these new deals, and it's all pointing towards Pep extending. And don't forget, there's certain people out there, when Pep Guardiola got this job, said he's not going to tear the Premier League up. Stan Collymore said, don't think Pep Guardiola can win the Premier League without any tacklers. You know, he's not going to win the Premier League with no striker. We've had all this bullshit from people, so-called experts, and he's just proved them all wrong. So it's the longest club he's ever managed. He's happy here. What can I say? Once Manchester City touches your heart, you know what I mean? It touches your heart, Pep, doesn't it, son?
That's why I was saying, because it's very, very key for us to go and get Ten Hag this summer. Because I remember when Van Gaal was here, and he rattled City a little bit. He had a few decent wins against them. And he kind of, like, tactically, he was, for me, the perfect manager to go against what they were doing in Manchester. And they were on the up. So that's why, for me, it's very, very crucial. I know we're linked with Pochettino, but I don't know if he's on an upward trajectory. And you can talk about it as well, Fuad. But United have to go all in for Ten Hag this summer. And if we don't, I'm just not confident in Pochettino. I was maybe in 2019-20 when he had a bit of, you know, a bit of swagger and, you know, he had his chest out. Now I just feel like his head's down, you know what I mean? It's not going well for him at PSG. So, you know, that's my own opinion.
I think... If Pep needs a challenge and he's bored, I think he should just do what everybody does on Football Manager, which is just go down to the Championship, go down to League One, pick up Leighton Orient and bring him up to the Premier League. That'll be a nice rise for him. That'll be a switch up. Do you know what I'm saying? Because he must get boring at City. Like you're saying, winning the Premier League constantly, you're getting everything you need. There's no drama. There's nobody turning up late for training. Like, it's, for me, at that point, you know, it's just, you need something, you need a new kick, you know? So I think think a little drop wouldn't be too bad. But I think you're dreaming with Ten Hag, Saeed, because I think Ten Hag's too smart to.
Why am I dreaming?
Because I just don't think a manager like Ten Hag, who's spent so long at Ajax protecting his reputation, is going to walk into Manchester United when it's just constantly upheaval and drama and a mess. No,
There is a good project, you know. There is a project in terms.
It's not really a project, though, is it, Saeed? Let's be real here.
We're dealing with Ralph Rangnick now. You know what I mean? He'll be in the advisory. Listen, man, what's going on, man? Let me just say what I got to say. Ralph Rangnick.
What kind of project has Cristiano Ronaldo?
I'm just saying, isn't it? It's a difference now with Ralph Rangnick. Come on, listen. Ralph Rangnick. Yo, man, chill, man. I don't know what
project. Hey, it's still a word.
Project Pickle Press.
What project?
Project Pickle Press didn't work.
No, I'm trying to say.
I've never heard Man United and project in the same
sense. No. I should not use that word project. What I'm trying to say is, you know, if Ralph Rangnick is allowed to go upstairs, you know, I think maybe it looks a bit more kind of, you know, appetizing in terms of, you know, maybe he's looking, thinking, okay, maybe I could build something. Donny coming back. Maybe I can go get Frankie de Jong. And plus, he'll be allowed, if there's a pre-agreement, he's allowed maybe now the next couple of months to identify what he's got. Ralph Rangnick can say to certain players who have now left, right, I've took a load of players out. Now you can bring yours in. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, it's something what I should think he could look at and think, you know what? Let me see if I can challenge myself. He hasn't challenged himself yet. He's been in one league. Okay, he was at some other league, apparently in Germany, but it's not been tested yet. What a perfect test to go there, you know, and prove yourself against the big dogs, Tuchel, Conte, Guardiola, Klopp. You know what I mean? It's going to be an exciting league.
Would that job still not be available where you're saying challenging Tuchel, Klopp and all these lot when Pep walks? Yeah. Just wait one more year,
and he can get him now, bro.
Listen up, bro. And I hear what you're saying right now, but you got to think where Ten Hag is coming from. He's got a perfect structure and system, an academy that's bringing in kids every single year, two director of football with Van der Sar and Overmars getting him every deal he needs. And so why would you leave this perfect structure where you've been winning, where you've been dominating, where you've really left your imprint to go take over at United? And you're saying project, but bruv, if this is a project, it's right at the start of it.
No.
It's day one. There's nothing exciting going on right now that would allure him. What, Ronaldo? Ronaldo might as well take over.
No, I don't think so. But it would be a challenge for him.
I don't see any reason why Ten Hag would leave. Van Gaal came in, but he came in off the back of a World Cup. Van Gaal was on his last leg.
It was also an old squad after David Moyes, when there was a lot of trouble, there was a lot of kind of things happening behind the scenes. And he came in, and I thought he established himself well and he carried himself well. I think these guys are cut from different cloths, these Dutch guys, you know what I mean? They're very, very meticulous in what they do. You know that as well, isn't it? You know what I'm saying? They're meticulous.
Also,
they're very, very, you know, they're strong-minded. I think, you know, the way I look at him and the way he speaks and the way he puts himself, I think he looks up to the challenge. So, you know, I think me, if you're telling me Pochettino's coming and we could have got I'll back him. But for me,
I've never known a man twerk for so many managers in my life than him.
Why would I twerk for?
Pochettino. We want Conte. Conte is the man. We want Conte. Now we want Ten Hag. Listen, Ralph. We always wanted Ralph. Ralphie, Ragnick, baby.
And you're going to end up with
Neil Warnock, mate. Neil Warnock said he wants one last swan song in management. It's made up for him. Shithole like Man United, Neil Warnock, old school football, 4-4-2, roof leaking, rats on the pitch. Get Warnock in, man. He'll save you. I tell you, you won't go down next season.
It's in 2001, man. Chill out, man.
You think you want Ten Hag, yeah, but I really think you should get Pochettino. You think Pochettino, what he took over at Tottenham, yeah, at that time, it was a mess. From AVB, Harry Redknapp's leftovers, Tim Sherwood's 40 seconds. He came in and fixed that place up nice and clean. Absolutely. Working with low-level players, people would have said at the time, made them the best defensive record back-to-back seasons. He can maybe come in and do that at United, man. I think the Ten Hag dream, let that go. get back on that Potts train, bro.
You're saying that out of spite, though. I feel like you're saying that out of spite. You don't want it to come.
Bro, I think Ten Hag is ready-made design for Man City. You're doing the thing where you
Nah, but Guardiola will like to dominate for the rest next 5 or 10 years. You know, you guys are thinking that Pep Guardiola would want to just be like, yeah, that's my dynasty done. He wants to kind of get to the level where he thinks Pep Guardiola, one of the greatest Premier League managers of all time. I know he won't be Alex Ferguson's level, but, you know, to be in that kind of conversation, I think you're underestimating what Guardiola would think. I just think personally, though, is Pochettino has the same kind of aura as he had about 3-4 years ago? Be honest. You know what I mean? Like, does he have that?
I think maybe I am, but
it's about preference, though, isn't it? It's about preference.
Yeah, I get you, but you liked Pochettino before the PSG stint. I think it's a bit harsh,
absolutely,
considering what he did at Tottenham and what he did at Southampton, to just like kind of drop his stature so much on just the PSG job, when we know the PSG job is very difficult. Very difficult situation to deal with, because
but also, the I'm also
the egos, the politics, everything involved. Leonardo is very difficult to work under. I think if Pochettino had anybody's respect before the PSG job, which I'm pretty sure he did, I think he should still command similar respect now. Wait for him to maybe do another job, and then if that goes wrong, then fair enough. But I personally haven't lost any real admiration for
Pochettino. I just feel like come October, you guys are going to be like, Pochettino's really done out here. And you're going to be basically saying, why did you get Pochettino? But I don't think Ten Hag, the fruits of his labour will still happen and it'll still continue. And I think there's a development in Ten Hag, an upward trajectory. I'm not so sure that upward trajectory is still there with Pochettino. And that's my only feeling for me. And the chat can decide for themselves.
Would people not have said the same thing about Thomas Tuchel when he was at PSG? But then now he's lauded as a tactical masterclass at Chelsea. I'm just saying, I know the PSG job can make some man look completely bozo. I remember Emery a couple of years ago when he left PSG was being, Arsenal fans, I'm not sure we want him. Then he goes and wins the Villarreal Europa League and everyone's like, hey, look at Emery, he's doing it. For me, I just think the PSG job is definitely a difficult one. For me, I wouldn't make and break someone's reputation on that job, to be honest. It's 100%. So funny.
PSG is a stupid move for any manager. It is. It literally is. What did Tuchel say, that those guys are not ready to be coached? They don't want to be told what to do. Come on. Are you telling Verratti, Mbappe, Neymar, Icardi what to do? You know, Ramos, are you telling them what to do? They're not listening.
Tell them what to do, but they're not
press.
Yeah, they're not there to, they're for vibes, man. Paris. You know, like how Matisse is there for vibes right now. That's what them players are there for. Paris, man. Same as Matisse, man.
Gremlins in Paris. He's filming Gremlins in Paris at the minute.
I'll wait on the next show.
Gremlins in Paris. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think you guys are locking. You know, you're building me up to lock me down. I think for me, I personally think
Ten Hag is your number one candidate.
Number one, absolutely. From what I've heard, I think, you know, he's in good. I told you that.
The same question I had in, the same thing I posed in November when you was or October when you was first getting linked with Ten Hag is Ten Hag have any experience dealing with the egos that we're criticizing Pochettino for not dealing with? And the answer is no, he hasn't.
Let me ask you a question. Let me rebuttal that. Do you reckon Pochettino has the similar aura as he did with you know Tottenham? Less you know, no disrespect to Tottenham, but we're now dealing with players that are on higher wages, players that I think are emotionally damaged in terms of broken promises. We are dealing with a lot of different situations here at United. No disrespect to Fulham, but it is different.
Hey.
what are you talking about?
There was too much disrespect sprinkled in that, bruv.
It's not the same circumstances, though, is it?
This is why I don't think Ten Hag will go to United, because this is his first quote-unquote big job. This will be his big opportunity, right, to prove himself. Why would he go to Manchester United with all those things that you just said, the drama, the loose characters, when he could just wait for a city where there is literally no drama, it is calm, and there is nothing coming out of the club. It's organised from top to bottom. That's why I just don't see him going to Man United. I don't think it makes sense. He's been so meticulous. You have to watch these managers. Certain managers just bounce and they're just like that, hopscotch. and they don't mind where they manage, and they'll just take any job and take the pay cut, take the payday, and they'll just try and make everything work. And certain managers are moving very meticulously right now, and they don't want to
they don't
want to play this game of getting fired too early because it ruins their.
And then would you want a manager who just jumps at the ship? You know what I mean? Get sacked for Pochettino,
look how many teams, yeah. I'm knocking on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's door now and saying, come and manage our club.
Yeah, there you go.
Look how many, yeah?
Oh, so that's the state of Man United
at the minute. I tell you, there's any up-and-coming manager who is looking at that club. It's not the Man United it was before. They're looking at that club thinking, I'm better off where I am. Look at the managers that are staying in clubs, lesser-sized clubs than Man United, rather than take that step because they know it's a poison chalice. And like up-and-coming managers now, they're looking for a bit of job security and all that. Like you said, Saeed, you got Mourinho in, he won your trophies, they want happy. You got Van Gaal in, he won your trophies, they want happy. Yeah. They got Solskjaer in, he made the fans happy, but the team was shit. Now you've got rid of him, you've ended up with Ralf Rangnick. And now people try to convince us Ralf Rangnick's the second coming of fucking Alex Ferguson. He's not. Nobody wanted it. Desperado. They've called him an interim to see how it goes. And then, like you say, if you better believe that if Rangnick was winning every single game now, he wouldn't be an interim, he'd be your manager. That's just a cover-up because they haven't got a plan B. They don't know who the fuck they're getting after Rangnick, and they're just biding time. That is basically
it. They are biding time.
And if Pochettino is leaving PSG, then to me, that's just where he's going because they've fancied him for a while, and I think... But once you get Pochettino, I hope you get Pochettino, by the way.
There you go, isn't it? That's what I'm saying, man. You just want... You know what I mean?
But you know, I'm saying, you know, be careful what you wish for, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think a lot of people would kind of say that I think Pochettino is more likely to fail than Ten Hag, just because Ten Hag at the minute has more kind of, what would I word I call it? The philosophy is a bit more stronger for Ten Hag, if that makes sense. Does that make sense to anyone?
Yeah, I get you. I just wonder.
You know what it is?
No, no, be honest. That sounds right. Let me explain that. I explained it yesterday. It's like your new phone now. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the next update. You know, for me, Ten Hag is the latest update. I think, you know, Pochettino's iOS 12 and that. You know what I mean? Now we're on iOS 15. That's
Ten Hag. Ralf Rangnick's a Nokia 3310.
What?
Yes.
You're asking for an iOS update when you're carrying a Nokia. That is the issue here for me.
Ralf Rangnick's playing Snake.
Sorry?
Ralf Rangnick's playing Snake. He's that old.
Do you know what it is, Saeed? And I've mentioned it before, yeah? Listen, you lot are 9 years without a league. Arsenal are 18. So I feel like I look at Man United fans and I understand where you lot are. I remember a time, yeah, 8, 9, 10 years after we won our last league title where I was like, a manager must want to come to this club and, you know, just bring us back from the dead and be the, well, Saeed just did that, but be the next legend at Arsenal Football Club. Wait, let me bring him back in.
Yeah, my bad.
No worries. Let me just sort this out. Yeah, like be the next legend at Arsenal Football Club. In terms of, we were so long without a league title. If a manager comes in and brings us back to the promised land, that manager's name is written in, you know, folklore for the rest of the club's history. But the reality is, if you swim in mud long enough,
you're sinking.
The world will see how dirty you are, and the football world sees how dirty Arsenal is. And to be honest with you, Man United, it's not 18 years, but in the 9 years that Man United have, you know, been dead, or not dead, but since Alex Ferguson, you lot have been as muddy as Arsenal have over 18 years.
No, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I think it's just more prevalent now because of the wage bill and the amount of money we spent. We spent $1 billion. City has spent $1 billion, but look, they've got the trophies to show for it. You know, and that's why it's highlighted even more. You know what I mean? And you know, people can say, I generally think that the next appointment is very, very key to where United will be in the next 5-10 years. If they go get Pochettino, I just feel like we're going to have the same questions, the same split fan base for the next year or 18 months. You go and get Ten Hag in, and you suddenly have people saying, you know what? You know, it might be a slow build-up like Klopp, but then it will slowly progress into a dynasty, you know what I mean? And that's how I feel with Ten Hag. I genuinely think he'll be the right man to take us forward.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens to United in the summer and Arsenal. If top four doesn't happen, if top six doesn't happen, if Arteta stays in the job, I'm sure Tuchel's job seems safe for the next season anyway. And Conte's obviously will have his first summer. And Klopp and Pep, there's no question there about their credentials or their place in the Premier League next season. Listen, we was going to go into best and worst FA Cup moments, but we're 5 minutes past the hour. There's 3,000 people live. We haven't hit 1,000 likes yet, so make sure you hit the like button now. Get it up to 1,000 real quick. And I'm going to wrap the show up here. Reason being, because over the last few shows, we've given 1 hour 40-minute shows, 1 hour 45-minute shows, and it's a lot of time, and you know it's not scheduled in beforehand. So I want to say thank you to Grizz, Matisse, Steve, and Saeed, including Tobes, who stick around for the hour 40 minutes. I know it's a short one tonight, and I do want to do best and worst FA Cup moments because I've got a few there to talk about, and I want to hear from the rest. But I think that might be something to do on the channel with the pre-recorded content after we get our top fives out of the way. First things first, Fuad, love for stepping in as always, my guy.
Always, man. Always.
Come on.
Appreciate it, bro.
Subscribe to Fuad. Link in the description below. I know a lot of you lot love him, so make sure you guys go support him there as well. Road to 5K. I know I see people in the chat saying, I want more, I want more. Monday, 9 p.m., we're back. We'll review the FA Cup. Hopefully, there's an upset or two that we can, you know, get our teeth into. And then we'll preview game week 24, which comes next week. The Premier League is back next week. Oh, shit. Someone reminded me. Super chats. How can I forget? Super chats first, and then we wrap it up. My bad, people. Let me get into them right now. Steve the GOAT says, Joe, did you watch the old film? I didn't. Did any of you guys?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Celtic smashed them up, mate.
Crazy, man. Crazy.
Will says, Matisse is asking when Pep leaves because he knows Tuchel can't compete. Listen, Pep extending along with Haaland joining this summer. Sorry. And to be honest, that's what I was going to say. We're all talking about managers and Man United and so on. If Pep extends that contract, it doesn't matter who gets what manager.
Exactly. It's true.
The league is wrapped and no one's going to be happy. Fair enough. Messi FC says, you guys need to give Pep a good send-off. All 15 of you, Steve. Nahom says, Saeed, we'll get Ten Hag if we want him. We're not Spurs. Well, Spurs went out and got Conte ahead of Man United and other clubs out there. So there might be
Batista a change. Batista tax.
Usman says, watch PSG. Poch has lost his mind. Man had Neymar playing a DM role before his injury. Carried by individual brilliance, but he won't complain. Glazer's dream. Is it a process then, Saeed? Should we trust it, says Josh.
Chelsea fan, why do you want to know?
Listen, me? You're a Chelsea fan.
Yeah, Chelsea fan, it's got... You know, see, look at this fan base, man. Some fake fan base, you know.
Maybe it's a United fan that wants reshamed. Is that reshamed? Someone, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe you know, fanboy.
United,
fan
anyway. United and Tottenham have different standards. For you, top four is enough. For us, you get sacked.
For only ain't that the same fan base that was begging to keep Ollie because he was getting top fours and no trophies? Fair enough.
Thank you for the super chat, as Tobes would say. Arteta arrogant, but Radnick is ruthless. Yes, Saeed. You know what that is? Radnick comes with experience and he's come with
absolutely substance. Absolutely.
That's why I asked the question about whether Arteta's approach is the right approach, but from the wrong level of experience. Because I'm not against the approach, but does he command that authority yet? It's hard to really say, whereas Radnick has got, you know, authority. Christophe Gaultier is a top manager, not Poch. Who's that? Nice's manager.
Yeah. He was the one that won the title with Lille last year as well.
Yeah. Nice are second at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. Knocked out PSG on the weekend as well at the cup.
My man won that.
Watching it.
You see it? Did you watch it?
The goalkeeper. Nah, I only caught highlights of it.
The goalkeeper who was against PSG was PSG's fifth choice goalkeeper on loan at the other team, and he saved and knocked him out. And if you've ever seen that goalkeeper, he's the biggest goalkeeper I've ever seen. He makes Schmeichel look like a dwarf.
How did they do that? I'm sure you can't play lone plays. Is that just our league?
No, they did. And right, honestly, he was massive. The goalkeeper was massive. I don't know his name, but he was massive.
I didn't even see that much still. Tukulista says, oh, fuck's sake, Fuad, you've jinxed Senegal. Egypt are winning the AFCON now.
Wait, we'll see.
Listen, love for the love, people. I think that was all of the super chats. Like I said, apologies for the shorter than usual show. But remember, this show was always meant to be 1 hour and the usual has become longer. So hopefully you guys understand. Hopefully you're all back Monday, 9 p.m. And if you want some more of the Big Six, then go over to the official channel where the first video is out. If you haven't watched it already, go over there and watch it. 40 minutes. Top 5 Premier League goalkeepers. Love for the love, people. We will be back Monday, 9 p.m. Peace.